Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Talk Time with Terry Durine. I'm your host, Terry Durine, and tonight we're going to be talking about common myths and misconceptions people have about sex and dating. It should be a pretty interesting conversation. A lot of different areas we can go to as far as topic of discussion. But before we get into that, I'd like to start each show off with a segment that I call Terry's Top 3. Where I basically discuss some of the most popular posts from my Instagram page at Terry Durine. So me and my co-host Jay Bravo, what's going on, Jay?
Hey, what's going on? How's everyone doing tonight?
Not much, man. It's just going to be me and Jay tonight. My other co-host, Cheryl, is a little under the weather, so she won't be joining us this evening, so it'll be fellas only representing tonight. So we should have some pretty interesting conversations. Let me go ahead and put the guest line number up on my Instagram Live for those of you that would like to give us a call and ask a question or join the conversation. The number is 929-477-2994. The guest line will be open the entire show. So if you have a question and you want to join the conversation, we would love to have you chime in. You know, the show always goes better when we have live callers call in. So let me get started with the post that I had, the first post of the Terry's Top 3 segment. So this is a post that I put up. The question was, I just broke up with my girlfriend because of the lack of sex in our relationship. We dated for a couple of months before we started having sex and things were fine. But about a month later, when we made things official, sex dropped to barely once a week. I've tried for almost 6 months to get things back how they were. Now that I'm tired of discussing the issue with her, she's trying to guilt trip me into coming back. What do you think? So, my response to him was, I think you gave her more than enough time to resolve the issue. She had over 180 opportunities to tell you what the real issue was, or to increase the sex, and she didn't do either one. That's dumb decision-making on her part. And her choosing not to do either one of those things comes with repercussions. I think you would be stupid as hell to fall for the emotional manipulation bullshit. If she was serious about fixing a problem, you would have seen obvious effort from her to resolve it since you brought up the complaint. She can feel however she wants to about it. I think you handled the situation fairly and logically, and it's way better than just going out and cheating. Hopefully she learned from her mistake. So this topic seemed to get a lot of women in their feelings, right? Because if whenever a man leaves a woman on my page, that's always met with a lot of anger, a lot of, you know, a lot of frustrated women, a lot of negativity towards them. And at this point, I mean, it's expected, right? We know there are a lot of double standards on male and female behavior when it comes to how women react to things. And so whenever it comes to a man leaving a woman for any reason, no matter how, you know, women all on my page often say things like, I would prefer a man just leave than cheat. And I would, you know, they always make suggestions on a man leaving, right? But then when a man leaves, it's always a problem. Now, even if he left for the exact reasons that they gave on another post, they will still turn and criticize and blame the man for the situation, right? And so in this situation, we have a guy where he says that he he made a commitment. He committed to the woman like women say that they want, right? So he's in a relationship. He went through the dating process. See how things, a couple of months before they actually committed to one another, everything was all good. They started having sex. Everything was all good. You know, still everything's two thumbs up. But the moment he commits to her and becomes her boyfriend, sex instantly drops and dwindles to once a week. So he doesn't have a knee-jerk reaction. He does what an adult should do when they have a problem in their relationship. They should discuss it with the person they're in the relationship with. He didn't go on social media blasting it. He didn't handle it in an immature way. He didn't cause any confrontation between them. He's trying to figure out how to get things back how they was a couple of months ago when we were having sex regularly, right? Totally rational thinking, total responsible behavior, nothing disrespectful, nothing to violate his relationship, nothing to cause further turmoil or increase the divide between them, right? Now, we see that that's how a lot of women respond when they have problems with men. They do something that makes the problem worse. They create a situation that increases the likelihood of the outcome that they claim that they don't want, right? You don't want your relationship to end, so logically you should operate in a way and in a method that increases the chances of it succeeding or working out, like this man did, right? So after 6 months of her refusing to increase the sex or make any changes or give him a reasonable explanation as to why the sex is still only once a week, right? Is that an unreasonable thing to ask or expectation to have for a woman? Okay, you cut the sex to once a week. I voiced my displeasure over it for 6 months. For 6 months, I voiced my displeasure on us only having sex once a week. And you ain't budging at all. Dude don't deserve a fucking explanation.
I've never understood what women think not having sex with somebody is going to get them somewhere in that relationship, or in any relationship, or any relationship that they have with a guy for that matter. Like I mean, unless you both agree that it's strictly platonic or something. But if it's not, you know, if you're proactively dating the person or you're with the person, I've never understood what not having sex accomplishes there. And you don't even give them a logical, any kind of reason for that matter for it. Like, it doesn't make any sense to me. So,
We're going to get into that a little later. That falls under the misconceptions that women, a lot of women have when it comes to sex. So we'll definitely dive into that discussion a little bit later.
But I think at the very least, he deserves at least some kind of reasoning as to why they're not having sex as often as he would want to, or often as he think they should. I mean, I think he at least deserves some kind of explanation there.
Right. I mean, let's take a step back, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get some context on this, on why this is such a problem, right? For somebody to ignore the complaints that they're having from their the person that they're in a relationship with, their boyfriend, for months on an issue as critical as sex in a relationship, that is very foolish for a variety of reasons. One, we all know that lack of sex or lack of sexual satisfaction is a very big reason why people cheat, right? We all know this. We all have seen several instances of this happen, right? So for a woman to know for a fact that her man is not being satisfied sexually and he's unhappy with their sex life, and to go months without giving him a reason why it's that way or doing anything to fix it, how does a woman with a logical functioning brain think that that is going to make her man feel? Right? Just common basic logic. How would a woman that behaved in that manner for months on end expect any person to feel? If at any job, if a manager ignored another employee, one of their subordinates' complaints for 6 months, that's a fireable offense. Somebody goes to HR and they got documentation that they came to you for with a serious problem for 6 months, and you just ignored them, you will lose your fucking job over that. That is a fireable offense from a work perspective, from a professional perspective, right? So why wouldn't a person in a relationship owe some type of level of respect for their spouse? And this is why I don't have women have any sympathy for women like the woman that we're talking about. She deserves to get cheated on or less, right? Those are the options that she's pushing her man down. And so he chose the better one, the more honorable one, right? He cheated. He left her instead of cheating, which is great. Round of applause for that. He probably should have done it after a month or two. You know what I mean? So it's things like this, like you said, Jay. I don't understand. The logic is not there for me to understand why women behave in this manner. How many women try to find excuses or try to come up with things to justify why it's okay for her to behave that way, right? Like they always accuse me of making excuses for men when I simply explain why men do things, but they blatantly find excuses. They make up reasons. They change and alter scenarios, trying to find ways to make the man at fault in this situation. When I clearly explained that he did everything, he followed the basic rules of problem solving. Address the problem directly with the person you're having the issue with and try to find multiple ways to communicate your issues with them and give them the opportunity to correct the problem or explain their perspective on the issue. She's the one that caused their relationship to fail. So, I mean, it's just interesting to see how many women can read a basic situation like that or a basic set of circumstances and can completely ignore what was read and try to find a way to make an excuse out of it. All right. So the next post was a post that I put up. This is a quote that I've been reading, Charlamagne the God's new book, Black Privilege. And this is one of the quotes that he had in the book. And y'all see why I relate to it so much. It said, "The truth might hurt, but it's always helpful. Nobody wants to hear they're fat as fuck and need to lose weight, or they're not as talented as something as they think they are. But just because they're lying to themselves doesn't mean that you have to lie, too. It doesn't benefit you or the person you're talking to when you sugarcoat your words. You have to tell people what they need to hear, as opposed to what they want to hear. And if you are the person getting that harsh dose of reality, then make sure you accept it." Very powerful quote. Very, very true. Right? And obviously I relate to it because I have a very similar philosophy with my content. I don't believe in sugarcoating. I don't think that helps anybody in a situation. Now, I do understand that people need motivation, and people need to hear things to make them feel good from time to time. I completely get that. But if you think that something that makes you feel good is going to help you fix a problem, you are sadly fucking mistaken. You have a totally, totally flawed view of how improvement happens. Improvement happens when people learn what a problem is and actively work to solve that problem. And sometimes you don't realize that you are behaving in a way that is creating a problem. That's why there are people like me that can come and explain things and have other people be like, "Well, damn, I never thought about it like that." Because we all operate from a very limited perspective for the most part, right? And so when you have somebody that is being real with you, and you know that they're coming from a genuine place, like there's a difference between somebody trying to hurt you, right? Like, if I was just saying things to try to hurt women, or if I was just bashing women, like, you stupid bitches this, and you silly assholes this, and I was just talking negatively and down and just with no purpose behind it, with no learning material, with no real-world examples to learn from. If I was just spouting out negativity with none of those beneficial ingredients, then, yes, I could get it. You could call it being hurtful or being wrong, or you could give it a whatever negative term you want, because that's not advice, right? That's somebody being hurtful or being disrespectful, etc. But y'all never see me do that. Y'all never see me target, you know, I don't post to embarrass anyone. I don't post to disrespect anybody. I don't even block everybody that's disrespectful to me. You know what I mean? Like, the purpose is to learn, right? My goal is to get people to see things from a different perspective and hopefully benefit from it by having healthier relationships with men. I don't get anything out of bullshit, y'all. You know what I mean? Like, that defeats the purpose of me spending my time and effort every single day for years now writing books, you know, running the talk show, et cetera, if I'm just going to make up lies to tell y'all. That's pointless. Instead of me sitting here making up lies and going live, I could just make up some memes or post some videos or something if that's what I wanted to do. So the fundamental truth that I give y'all, I give it because I'm not, I don't have any consequences from being truthful with y'all. A lot of men that you know in real life do have negative consequences. That's why they're not as real with you as I am on a lot of things. I'm not trying to sleep with y'all. I don't care what y'all think about me. Y'all can't do anything to hurt me personally, so I can be as blunt and as real as I want to be with y'all. A lot of people won't get that bluntness and that reality from a lot of other sources. And even if you do have somebody that is honest and truthful with you, a lot of them don't explain things the way that I do. A lot of them don't have the experience that I have as former being a hoe for a long time, being married for a long time, being a former teacher, and having the understanding of how to explain things. You're very unlikely to get that combination of a guy that is brutally honest with you, that's not trying to fuck you. Like, none of y'all are almost going to find that combination of men in your life. That's what makes the insight that I give y'all so valuable for those that are smart enough to take it for what it is. When I saw the quote, I know Charlamagne, he gets a lot of hate for being real and asking questions that are, you know, not pleasant or whatnot. But that is what you need sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, that's and in the book he's talking about telling people things to try to prevent them from being something that they're not. You know what I mean? Like, telling somebody, like, one of the stories he mentioned is when he had to tell Music Soul Child tried to come out as a rapper, and he had to tell him, like, nah, bro, you are Music Soul Child. We value you for what you were doing. You need to stick to what you're a musician. You're not a rapper, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like, being that brutally honest, not from a negative I'm trying to hurt your feelings standpoint, from a I'm trying to help you and I'm coming from a place of genuine, just being real without any malicious intent behind it. When you can get honesty with that without any negativity behind it, you need to hold on to it and at least take heed to it. You know what I mean? The last post that I had up that I wanted to talk about was getting mad at someone and displaying a hostile attitude towards them without giving an explanation why you are upset will never solve or resolve any problem. People that use this problem-solving tactic will always have problems in their relationship. And in the caption I wrote, a person that has a "they should know why I'm mad already" mindset will always create drama and tension in any relationship. It doesn't matter if the relationship is romantic, platonic, or professional. Expecting someone to read your mind and be able to automatically know what you're mad about is something that a lot of women and men that act like women do all the time. It undermines the normal problem-solving and conflict resolution procedures because it adds layers of additional anger, frustration, and confusion to a situation and may make it impossible to ever address the original or underlying problem. I talk about how having unrealistic expectations is one of the biggest causes of relationship problems all the time. So for someone to expect another person to just know what's wrong with them or kiss their ass until they decide that they finally want to discuss the problem is unrealistic as hell. People that do this usually find themselves getting even more upset than they originally were because when the person doesn't respond how they expect them to, they make assumptions about what the other person is thinking or feeling without verifying anything. This is relationship-killing behavior, and I can't express enough how frustrating this can be for someone to deal with and how negatively it can impact the relationship going forward. This is the opposite of effective communication and has been the demise of several relationships. If this describes your behavior, I would suggest you immediately work on fixing it before it costs your relationship with someone that you love or care about. And I can't be any more real than that. The thing that separates us from other animals is our ability to communicate, to think and communicate, right? Among other things, our thumbs are very vital too, but the primary difference between us and other animals is we have the most sophisticated forms of communication. That's how we were able to develop science, math, engineering, etc. It's also how we can have interpersonal communication, and we have relationships and marriages. But if you don't utilize that communication, it's pointless. If you can verbalize what's wrong with you and you choose not to, that is a very powerful thing to do. I can't believe it so perfectly. So me and my wife were just having this conversation about my daughter. My daughter, we just found some books that are teaching her how to express herself because she will get angry and start crying instead of verbalizing what's bothering her. It's acceptable because she's a 7-year-old child. It's not acceptable when you are an adult in a relationship. See the difference? And it still creates problems when my daughter does it, even though she's a child and it's acceptable. It creates problems. It's problematic. But she's not an adult. She's not held to the standard that a grown adult that can make decisions about having children, getting married, finances, life and death decisions, right? Her level of expectations is very low. She's 7. She's learning how to express herself and be a productive, effective communicator. You know what I mean? So if you're grown and you handle yourself in that way, you are the problem in your relationship. No matter how many other positives you bring to the relationship, if you do that one thing, you are the problem in your relationship, and you are slowly killing your relationship over time. Those type of things, those are the things that make a man fall out of love. Those are the type of things that make a man change his mind about viewing you as wifey material. And so oftentimes you'll see women say things like, he started off one way, or he changed. Well, His perspective of you is going to change over time based off what he experiences with you. Just like your feelings change over time. But the difference usually is the man is operating in a way that makes you like him more, that makes you want to be with him even more, that makes you even want to spend more time with him, that makes you want him to have a bigger role in your life. If you behaving in a way that don't make him feel the same way, you're never going to get the results you're looking for. See how simple that is? See how simple logic operates? And though that's what makes men like myself very successful with women. I operated in a way that women love being around me, love hanging around me, love and could see me as a potential husband and father that they could build a life with. And I was able to do it without having to lie or bullshit or pretend to be something I wasn't. I'm not the most handsome dude on earth. I'm not the richest dude on earth. I don't have the biggest dick on earth. I'm not the best pussy eater on earth. I'm none of those things. You don't have to be. You don't have to be those things. If you have the type of personality and the type of attitude that is conducive to having healthy relationships, and a lot of people don't. We're about to, Jay, did you want to chime in? I know I was kind of long-winded. It's been a while since we've done the show, so
I was
kind of feeling myself a little bit.
No, I've been having an attitude that, you know.
You kind of low, man. I can't really hear you, man. Something's going on with your phone, Jay.
I just had to take my headphones out here. I think it was messing up. But no, I was saying, I just don't understand, like, you know, any with that kind of behavior. Like you said, it's obviously you correlate to what your four-year-old does, and it's rather that kind of behavior is rather childish to just be mad and assume that they know what's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it is a crazy thing, and it's funny that, you know, I'm dealing with this from a parental aspect, but oftentimes what we've learned based off the book that we've been working on with her is she'll mention things to us or to my wife, and she just thinks that you automatically remember everything, and you and when something happens that goes against it or you forget something that she told you about, she takes it as you just decided to F her, you know what I'm saying? And she responds accordingly without verifying if you remember or without mentioning, hey, don't forget, I need $20 for the field trip. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's not giving us the reminders, but she's reacting extremely negatively when we forget something or when something doesn't go our way.
Right.
And so it's a very easy fix.
But it's crazy, you know, adults act the same way that a 7-year-old would act here.
I
think with Jordan time, it would probably be correct because I'm guessing you're going to obviously drill in her head, hey, look, you know, you got to remind us, you know, don't just assume that we're just going to remember. Yeah. Whereas for an adult, you know, we still do that.
Yeah, man, I mean, it's kind of crazy to see a lot of the ways that, like I said, man, when you just sit back and think about, man, these are people that create life, that raise other people. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about all the decisions that you have to make when you are a parent or when you're a real adult. These are people that probably are managers or supervisors or entrepreneurs. Like, some of these women are judges, law enforcement, nurses, doctors. How can you be this smart and make it to this level of life and have such flawed or illogical methods of making major decisions? Like, it's a very interesting concept. It's one of the things that drove me to do what I'm doing now, because I would be so amazed at the things that I saw that women really thought. And we'll get into that tonight. We're about to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get into the topic of the night. We're going to be talking about common myths and misconceptions about sex and dating. You're listening to Talk Time with Terry Duran. We'll be back momentarily.
Still kissing girls that I don't love. Still stumbling out of these clubs. Still I'm just so hard to trust. Don't know why I'm still a playboy. Playboy, too many nights to remember, so many girls I can't count, can't keep track of these adventures, what has become of me now? I thought each one was special,
Terry Duran, and tonight we are talking about common myths and misperceptions about sex and dating. Just jotted down a couple of things, man, couple of different topics that I wanted to hit on, things that people believe in that don't have any validity to it, right? And the way that you can tell if something is true or not is look at what happens around it. Look what happens in the real world, right? Look at the situations that occur between men and women regularly. And so that's how you can figure out what works and what doesn't, what's real and what's not, right? Talking about how things should be in a utopian fantasy land where everything is perfect makes absolutely no sense when the world we live in is not that way. Coming up with a strategy based on dating that fits for a perfect world is not going to be very effective if you don't live in a perfect world. That's simple logic, right? Having a plan or having some type of philosophy where people live forever will not really apply in real life. Why wouldn't it apply in real life? Because people don't live forever. And so a lot of guys have myths and things they believe in about women that are not true as well. But not nearly as many in their position in the dating arena allows them a lot more room for error than women have, because women are not the ones making choices. They're picking from the men that come to them. So that puts them at a significant disadvantage when it comes to how men operate. But that's another discussion. So one of the first myths that I had was unconditional love. I hear this all the time. Like, it's a topic that comes up very, very often on my page. It comes up in a lot of different discussions on other pages, etc. It's something that makes absolutely no sense when you pay attention to what the word actually means, right? I get it. Real love is supposed to be strong. It's supposed to be able to withstand lots of different things, right? I get it. But it's never unconditional. We all have conditions that we expect to be met. Otherwise, our feelings for the person we are with are going to change. If unconditional love was real and accurate, then the word means something is going to happen no matter what, right? So let's think about something that is unconditional. No matter what happens, if you do not have oxygen for a couple of minutes, you are going to die, right? That's a condition that you can't negotiate with it. You know what I mean? You can't alter it at all. It's either going to happen or it's not. So when you're talking about something that is going to happen no matter what, we're going to die no matter what we do. No matter how healthy we eat, no matter how much we exercise, no matter how much we pray, one day we're going to die. Simple fact, right? So when you're talking about unconditional love, if a person could just treat, if the word unconditional means no matter what happens, you're still going to get the same outcome, right? That just does not apply when it comes to romantic relationships. Because if that's the case, we would all fall in love one time and stay in love forever, right? If there were no conditions that needed to have to stay met, if there was nothing that could happen that could change the way we feel about that person. And so this idea, I mean, it's a great fantasy. It's a great fluffy thing to believe in. It's easy to sell. You know, it's easy to sell to somebody that wishes they were in love or wishes they were in a relationship, the concept of unconditional love. Somebody's going to love you no matter what, just the way you are, and you don't have to do anything. If they don't love you, then they just weren't the one. Like, it's easy to sell somebody bullshit like this. It's so easy because nobody's held accountable for it. You know what I mean? Like, when you put it to women like that, and they're not accountable or not for their behavior, what they're doing, that could be the problem. And all the problem is put on the people that don't want to be with them. No set accountability. So the whole idea that unconditional love exists causes so many people to get hurt when reality check comes in and they find out it's not true. When they think that the man is going to stay with them no matter what, no matter how they treat them, no matter how they behave, no matter what, you know, it's like these kind of empty logic, you know, so like it's stuff that women see is not true, but they believe in anyway. I wish I had a better explanation for it. Did you want to touch on the unconditional love, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely a myth. Like you said, like it's almost like, you know, when people say, hey, it's, you know, it's not always on the outside, it's, you know, what's on the inside that counts, and, you know, we all know that's not true. You know what I'm saying? I mean, hey, look, if most women, if you have the choice between the tall, you know, handsome guy, tall, handsome, you know, well-chiseled guy, you know, big pins and all that stuff, as opposed to, you know, the short, you know, fat, chubby guy, I mean, I think most of us are going to take the tall, handsome, well-chiseled guy over that, if given the choice. So, I mean, yeah, it's definitely a conditional love. I think about this, how many women, you know, guys lose their wives because, you know, they lost their job or something like that.
I mean, sometimes it's conditions that's out of the person's control. You know what I mean? So, but there are conditions that have to be met. You have to be able to provide. You have to be able to do the things
that
keep the other person.
Let's just say, you know, financial situation change. He's not able to find, you know, live the life that they were living before. You know, a lot of times marriages end because of that, or relationships for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of conditions that cause people to do actions that end up terminating their relationships. You know, cheating, a lot of the things that lead to cheating are conditions that are not being met. So, I mean, there's no guarantee that a person is going to be happy, even if you are doing everything that you're supposed to do. But not doing those things makes it a lot more likely for you to have a negative outcome in your relationship. The next thing I wanted to talk about is love at first sight. This is one of the biggest things that women gather from their fairy tales. Cinderella, all these stories about people that just met somebody and fell in love that night, and the happily ever after, all the cliches and all the stuff that go along with the love at first sight. Men don't look at a woman and automatically know, oh, I love her. I love everything about her. Men are visual creatures. So a man looking at you, all it means is he is physically attracted to you. Your personality could be in such a way, or you could operate in a way that he ends up hating you, or he doesn't like very many things about you at all except the way you look and possibly enjoy having sex with you, right? But men are a lot different than women. Men don't need anything to have sex with a woman except that physical attraction and her consent. So a man can hate your personality, hate the way you act, hate a lot of stuff about you, but love the way you look and love how that pussy feels and keep fucking you for a long time. Very easy. It's very easy. I mean, I can remember fucking lots of chicks that got on my nerves. Easy to tune it out. You just don't spend much time with them. You know what I mean? You limit your access to them. But the requirements for a guy to have sex with a woman are not that great, not that hard to come by. And so the idea that a man just looked at you and fell in love, man, that's so unrealistic. But it's something that a lot of people believe in. And it sets a lot of women up to get hurt and abused by fuckboys. because they're already predisposed to believe in something that is inherently false. The next thing that I wanted to touch on was the myth that catching feelings is a bad thing, right? We see all the memes about it. We see people talk about it regularly. You know, catching feelings like they treat it like it's a disease, right? When that couldn't be further than the truth. I've never known anybody in real life that doesn't like being appreciated, doesn't like being loved, doesn't like being missed, doesn't like having somebody's attention, especially somebody that they find attractive that they're interested in as well. There's absolutely nothing. It's hard for me to think about something negative about the general idea of someone having feelings for you. The idea that somebody misses you or is thinking about you when you're doing something else. I've never been upset that somebody missed me. I've never been angry that somebody thought about me or wanted to hang out with me. Never. The feeling may not be mutual, you know, whatever, but I've never had a negative feeling come from somebody having feelings towards me. The problem is how people respond to those feelings. So it's not the feeling, it's not the catching feeling itself that's the problem. It's the secondary effect of that, how those feelings cause a person's behavior to change. That causes the problem. Why men are often warning women about catching feelings, often giving them, you know, disclaimer statements. We just cool. I don't want a relationship like that. They do all these things to try to prevent y'all from setting yourself up for failure. Men have experienced so many women that don't listen to a damn thing that they tell them, that live off assumptions, that make major decisions based off feelings and not logic, that they have all these methods in place to try to minimize it. We know we can't prevent it. We know we can't prevent it.
I think what women do, and I think in that situation, like, see, women will hear what they want to hear. You know what I'm saying? Like, you say, hey, oh, you look nice today. They'll take that and say, oh, why'd you tell me I look nice today if you didn't want a relationship or, you know, things of that sort. Or, you know, I mean, you always hear this, oh, well, why didn't you make me have sex with you if you didn't want a relationship with me? And mind you, it was already said from the jump, hey, look, I don't want a relationship.
Man, see, to me, that's victim mentality. Like, when women say things like that, like when we were having the discussion about women saying that a guy that knows that a woman wants the relationship not have sex with her because he knows she has feelings for him, as if she can't control who she give her pussy to. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay,
right.
So the man's responsible for everything he does, and he's responsible for the decisions that you make too, right? But you say something about a man telling a woman what to wear, and what do they instantly say? Can't no man tell me what to wear. Can't no man tell me what to do. Can't no man tell me how to spend my money. But all of a sudden,
right,
when it comes to who you give your pussy to, you can't make the decisions. The man got to make it for you. Like, how hypocritical is that, right?
Right.
So it's just, that's how you know. Oh man, I accidentally hit my camera. That's how you know that it's the lack of accountability, right? They always try to find a way to make it the man's behavior, the ones to blame for the outcome of a situation, and not hold themselves accountable for it. Because we all know that women are the ones that control sex, right? Outside of a woman being raped, women are the ones that give consent for sex. Period. That's why women can go have sex whenever they want, and men can't. Next thing that I wanted to, the myth that I wanted to talk about was the idea that romance equals love or a desire for commitment. Now, the definition of romance does mention love. I guess back in the day, romance used to mean
someone doing something out of love or towards someone that they love, because back in the day, sex wasn't as talked about or as open as it is today. But I think a more practical definition of romance is something that two people do that indicates that they're more than platonically interested in one another. Whether that be tongue kissing, whether that just be grinding, whether that just be touching or talking, and like there are a lot of different things that can be done that can qualify as romance. But the general underlying the common denominator is it's something that happens between one, where there's a romantic interest involved, right? So when I talk about romantic things, I'm talking about people doing the things that people that are, they may not be fucking yet, but they're on the path to fucking do, meeting privately, you know what I'm saying? Like meeting, laying on the bed together, laying up next to each other, watching TV, caressing somebody, touching, standing in line close to them, like little stuff like that that you do to indicate you fucking with somebody like that. Like you can tell when some by body language when somebody's a buddy and when somebody's fucking around, you should be able to. And so the idea that a man doing something to show a woman that he's interested in her physically means that he loves her or wants to be in a committed relationship with her makes absolutely no sense, right? Because how do we know it doesn't make sense? Because we can look at the world around us and the things that happen, and we see several instances that prove that it's not true. If a man showing attention towards a woman meant that he loved her or wanted to be in a relationship with her, wouldn't that mean that every man that goes to a strip club is in love or wants to be with a stripper? That's what it would mean, right? Him sweet-talking her and telling her how good she looks and rubbing her thighs and touching her ass would indicate that he loves her if that philosophy was true, right? If that philosophy was true, a man being in the club slow dancing with a woman would indicate that he loves her or wants to be in a committed relationship with her, right? So we don't have to look very far to find things that disprove this myth. A man, that is natural human interaction. People that are physically attracted to each other, that's why there are terms like sexual tension. There are things that you're going to say and ways that you're going to respond when you're attracted to somebody that you would not respond that way if you were not attracted to them. That's how people that are coworkers end up having sexual discussions. You're not supposed to be discussing sex at work. So two people that are attracted to each other and fantasize about fucking each other end up doing it. Happens all the time. Because the natural interaction between men and women leads to romance. And it does not have to follow with love or commitment either. And especially from a male perspective. So let's see. I wanted to touch on a couple of misconceptions. These are things that I think women just have slightly wrong. They have a understanding or a philosophy on it, and it's just slightly inaccurate and causes them to have negative consequences when they employ these things. So one is the dating process. A lot of women don't seem to understand that in order for a relationship to have the proper stability and foundation for it to actually last, you have to go through the actual process of dating. Getting the whole purpose of dating is to determine if there is a mutual romantic interest in someone and to figure out if you are compatible with one another. That's the fundamental purpose of dating, right? And a lot of women don't do that. They fail the dating process because they try to force things to happen. They meet a man and instantly try to make them be their man when they haven't even figured out if they're compatible or not. See how problematic that is? You want to commit to somebody that you don't know anything about, have sex with them regularly, which increases the chance of you becoming pregnant by them. That doesn't sound like smart decision-making to me. just don't. I mean, I'd love for somebody to convince me otherwise, but that doesn't sound like logical decision making. That doesn't sound like a reliable process or reliable method of going about dating. And how many women have we saw fail using that method before women smarten up and alter the method that they use?
Just about, man. Y'all don't have to listen to me. You know, y'all can reject the info as much as y'all want, but don't sound like
working
the way that
out.
A lot of women operate are doing them much justice. The next thing that I wanted to talk about was casual dating. Casual dating is a real, real broad term, right? Some people use the word dating to mean that you're in a committed relationship with somebody. But my definition of casual dating means everything's optional. Somebody that you have a romantic interest in offers something to you, and you have the option to either accept it or decline it. That could be an option. They could offer you some head, offer you to go on a date, offer you to go to the movies. They could offer you anything that happens between two people that are romantically interested in one another. And you have the option to either choose to accept or decline it. It doesn't mean that there's an automatic commitment. It doesn't mean there's any extra to it. It means that he knows that you knew he was coming to town, so he invited you to the concert because he wanted to go too, and he didn't want to go with his homeboy. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes a man just enjoys female companionship. And that's what casual dating gives you, access to have companionship with the opposite sex and the possibility of ending in sex. That's why so many people do it. You don't have all the expectations and things that come with being in a relationship. You have the freedom to do what you want with who you want, and you can enjoy it if you date correctly.
Let's see. Oh, this is a big one. This misconception that women have about men just wanting sex, right? Whenever a man doesn't give a woman what she wants out of a relationship, it instantly switched to all he wanted was sex. I just mentioned when I was talking about casual dating that there are lots of situations where men simply enjoy a woman's companionship. There's a big difference between being around a woman, especially when you're around her alone and there's a mutual interest, and being around other men. So there are certain situations that men just want to do with a woman. Just being around a woman, watching a woman get dressed, the way that they smell, the way that they feel to be next to, all of those things are things that men enjoy about being with women. The conversations you can have with a woman, right? So the idea that just because he doesn't want to be in a relationship, all he wants is sex. He didn't commit to you, so all he wanted was sex. And it's so funny because whenever I bring this up with women, there are usually lots of things that happen between a man and a woman outside of sex that get her to the point where she's comfortable enough to have sex, right? Most women that I've encountered or dealt with didn't instantly fuck me as soon as they met me. They got comfortable enough to want to have sex with me based off the things that happened, the way we interacted, the conversations we had, the time we spent together. I've never even had a one-night stand, not one where I just met a woman and slept with her the day that we met. So all my coochie was set up and followed through. You know what I mean? Like, so the idea excuse me. The idea that a man only wants sex from a woman is almost never true. There are very few situations where the only thing that a man wants from a woman is sex. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, big misconception. I've talked about this couple times already, this know your worth idea. I think a lot of women have a misconception about that, because when you talk about worth and you compare dating or interpersonal relationships to marketing, you know, where sale and value and things like that come up, like, you can't just pick one word out of it. You have to take all the concepts that come into play when you're talking about an open market, which dating is. An open market where people, you have certain people that are a group that is the shopper or the consumer, and then you have another group of people that are looking to sell themselves, right? The people that decide what something is worth are the purchasers, right? There's a simple saying in economics, or a person or a product is worth what somebody's willing to pay, or what someone's willing to do for it, for that product. And so when it comes to this, the way that a lot of women use this know your worth phrase, a lot of them only want to use the phrase with no logic, with no reasoning, with no real explanation behind it, except them saying, I know what I'm worth. Well, if y'all were the one that were going around choosing wives and girlfriends, that would really matter. But men are the ones that pursue women. Men are the ones that decide who they want to give their time and attention to. So the only thing that women really get to do is choose which men they give their time and attention to, and choose who they give their pussy to. You don't get to tell a man who he feels he is worth it or not. So if he feels that you're not worth giving his time and effort to, you can't change his mind. You can't tell him what you're worth from his perspective. So the whole concept of know your worth or whatnot is just like an empty phrase. And that's why so many women use it to explain so many things. Like, but it can come up in so many different topics because it's just a blanket, generic phrase.
I think the know your worth thing, like I said, that's why I think, yeah, know your worth is pretty, like, subjective. Because because a lot of times, you know, the know your worth, a lot of times, especially with women, they overvalue themselves with the know your worth thing. I think a lot of times, so I think it's, you know, really subjective there. What you might feel your worth is, a guy might feel like you're not worth what you might think you're worth or whatever.
Right, and they really dislike when you say stuff like that. But they do. A lot of women overvalue themselves. I mean, they think they are more valuable to men than the way that men view, the way that most men view, right? And so,
right,
you see it all the time. They fail to take into account supply and demand. They fail to take into account the different philosophies that men and women have on sex, relationships, etc. So a lot of times they don't get the results that they were expecting because men don't view them the way that they view themselves.
Even amongst women, I mean, I don't think there's a clear, you know, there's nothing clear cut of what your worth is or what somebody's worth is. It's not like universal of what your worth is. There's no like universal, like when somebody says what's your worth, you know, it's usually a different answer from a woman. So it's like, it's not like one of those things which is like, well, it's like a definitive answer of what their worth is. That's what I say, you know, it's pretty subjective.
Yeah, very true, man. I want to look like we didn't get no callers, but that's cool, man. I think we still had a pretty decent show, man.
Definitely.
Dave, thanks for chiming in. Cheryl, hope you feel better. Hopefully we can get back to the show next week. My schedule permit, I've been really, really busy, so I'm doing different things. But we're about to end the show, man. I appreciate all the love. Those of you that didn't get to hear the entire conversation, I will have the link to listen to the recording in my bio. It has been another episode of Talk Time with Terry Duran. Thanks for chiming in.
I got a feeling that you might be. Do I turn you on? You can tell me if I'm wrong. Girl, I think you might be. And she don't need smoke, but she swore I got that dope. Love it when I fuck in them. Hey, hot sex is the best sex. Whenever she's stressed, she just wanna get. Well, get high, baby. Get high, baby. Is you rolling? I might be. You the sugar, honey, ice tea. What I got a hint for? You know I'm an info on my Marshawn Lynch. You know what I'm here for?